Bob Agnew in Washington. Donald Trump has scored a record-setting win in the Iowa caucuses, with his rivals languishing far behind last night. Trump's victory sends a resounding message that the GOP's 2024 presidential nomination is now his to lose. He is on track to smash the record for a contested Iowa Republican caucus with a margin of victory exceeding the nearly 13 percentage points Bob Dole enjoyed clear back in 1988. As for his main rivals, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis finished second, coming in just ahead of former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley. Caucus voters endured life-threatening cold and dangerous driving conditions to meet in hundreds of buildings around the state, like schools, churches, and community centers. Frigid temperatures and blistering winds continue to disrupt air travel around the country today. Carriers canceled more than 2,100 flights yesterday. This is SRN News.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, save our children. What do we do? How do we do it? What do we do to confront the abortion machine across America and here in the state of Florida that's wanting to introduce legislation and or do a constitutional amendment as an end run around our legislative process, in order to make murder by way of abortion available 24/7 right up until the day of delivery? We're delighted to have today with us Andrew Scherville. Andrew is the founder and executive director of the Florida Voice for the Unborn. Andrew, before we get you back on the conversation and on track, I believe we have a call. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, have a blessed one.
Thank you. You also.
Andrew, I'm going to tell you, I love what you're trying to do. I'm telling you, because we are going off the chain, should I say it like that, killing our kids. But they never say anything about maybe a man wanted, you know, to have a child. But they say it's a woman's right. It's just like when they did the shots, I call them the death shots. Now, if they have the right to kill, because she did not put that seed in her, right? She did not put that seed in her. It was a man that put that seed in her. Okay, I know some men, you know, don't want the child. And some men do want the child. And they should have rights also, should I say it like that.
Andrew, how do you respond to Kenneth's postulating his question?
Well, I agree wholeheartedly, Kenneth. To create a child, you need a man and a woman, and of course, God's divine grace, because he is the author of all life. So what abortion has done to our society in this really a post-Christian society is that abortion has turned family members against each other. So you have the mother is pitted against her child. The father is pitted against the mother. The father is sometimes pitted against the child as well, as you alluded to, because some men don't want the baby and pressure women into obtaining an abortion. It's a very destructive tool that Satan uses to undermine the foundation of a true Christian-based community, which is the family. That's the family unit. And so that's why abortion is so insidious. And look, abortion has always been around since the beginning of time, since the fall of man. There were herbs and other things that were prescribed by witch doctors and whatnot to end a pregnancy. But we in the modern world have never seen the scale of killing that goes on a daily basis, and not just here in Florida, not just here in the United States, but worldwide. I believe God's heart is truly, truly grieving, because the evil of it all is that we as a society, under our laws and just total indifference, even by the church in general, this mass killing of his creation takes place, and it's just absolutely horrendous. So that's why abortion has to be defeated on all fronts. But fundamentally under our laws, because if our laws say, hey, you can kill an unborn child, a child of God, up until the moment of birth, what does that say about the rest of our laws and the rest of what we're trying to solve here in society? Boy, oh boy, we've got things very, very wrong. So in order to get back into the right mode of things, our laws have to reflect the reality that God created us, men and women, in his image, and that is the sacred responsibility that we've been given, and we have to protect our offspring from the moment of conception, because it's clearly God's design to do so. It is his job and his will understand when life begins and when life ends. That is not for us to be deciding who gets to live and who gets to die.
Amen. I am thankful for that statement. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, for your interest. Okay, keep praying.
One more question.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. About Planned Parenthood. I've always seen them in minority places. And if you kill an eagle, you're going to get 20 years or more, but you're going to kill a child.
Andrew, Kenneth, you're exactly right. Andrew, what do you say to that?
Absolutely right. Planned Parenthood targets minority communities and people that are in very difficult circumstances, regardless of whatever their race is or background is. They are in the business of exploitation and making money off of other people instead of giving them life-affirming hope and options like the church does, like these crisis pregnancy centers does. Planned Parenthood says the only way you could be happy is if you murder your offspring, and that is wrong. That is a lie from the pit of hell.
Kenneth, again, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for keeping on as we pray that God would intervene and give us victory at the ballot box, give us victory through the courts, and give us victory through instruments that God is using, like Andrew with the Florida Voice for the Unborn. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking with Andrew Scherville, Voice for the Unborn, Florida Voice for the Unborn. Andrew, I'm pondering a question. And I know that because of your interface with both sides of the aisle, you have formulated at least an opinion or a thought. And may I venture off track with my planned questions by asking a question that I have pondered for some time, not just about the abortion push, but why is it, in your humble opinion, that it appears that the Democrats in particular are willing to sacrifice everything, politically speaking, as long as they can have victory in relationship to murder by way of abortion? Do you see that as a demonic delusion, or is it a political issue? What are your thoughts?
It is a demonic delusion, Dr. Youngblood. It's because the Democratic Party itself has lost its way many, many decades ago. You know, if you go back, you know, prior to Roe versus Wade's installation, if you will, by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1973, both parties had many supporters, politicians, and other people that had different views on abortion, whether it should be legal, under what circumstances, at what gestational limits. But now what you find is that the Democratic Party has really become and transformed into this vicious, deluded apparatus that is, as you said, in the business of promoting abortion, murder on demand. And it's because I think they have become so extreme in this day and age, where there is no dissent allowed, either from supporters or from politicians on the lower levels, or especially at the higher levels. They'll never be, I think, any more governors that are pro-life, whether in, you know, personally or publicly. I think maybe John Edwards, I'm forgetting the man's name, but the Louisiana governor that was the last Democrat, he might be the last pro-life Democrat governor we'll ever see, because it's just not tolerated anymore. And so that's what's happened. It's become a party that has that courts, I don't want to say extreme people, but yes, I will say that extreme factions. And there's nothing more extreme than abortion until the moment of birth. I mean, they actually believe and advocate for allowing abortion, even partial birth abortion, where the baby is partially birthed and scissors goes into the back of its head and kill it, and say, well, that's not really a person because it's not completely out of the mother's body. I mean, that's just absolutely, fundamentally, even scientifically absurd. It's just absurd. But they're willing to do it because they have deluded themselves. And the Democratic Party has gone so far away from God. They don't want any mention of his name. And, of course, no mention of Jesus Christ at all at any of their events. And this is the fruit of that. This is the exact fruit of it, abortion on demand and propagating it at every opportunity.
Absolutely. And, Andrew, one of the things that is so sad and dilemmifying, just recently I listened to one of the legislators, U.S. House of Representatives, Democrat, that made the statement that we needed all of these illegal, I call them invaders, coming in, had between 9 and 11 million under the Biden administration, that we need them because Americans are no longer reproducing, and therefore if we no longer reproduce, we do not have the workers that's needed. So it is a blessing for these invaders to come in, giving us workers because Americans are no longer reproducing. And yet that's the same party that's murdering those that we're reproducing in America in the mother's womb. Andrew, the last time we had you on the show back in November, we were waiting a decision from the Florida Supreme Court as to the abortion industry's legal challenge to the 15-week ban. Has the court rendered a decision yet? And what is the future? What does the future look like on that?
Well, no, the Florida Supreme Court still has not rendered a legal written decision on that 15-week abortion challenge. But we are expecting the court to issue it very, very soon. The court issues its written opinions on Thursdays at 11 a.m. So if your listeners could be in prayer on Thursday mornings in particular, for that written decision to be issued, it would be terrific. because the outcome of this legal challenge will ensure the Florida Heartbeat Protection Act going into effect. So if we get a favorable written decision, when we do, we're expecting it to happen, then there's a provision in the Florida Heartbeat Protection Act which prohibits abortion in Florida after 6 weeks gestation. That bill that was signed into law last year in 2023 will take effect 30 days after the Florida Supreme Court rules on that 15-week challenge. So that's why it's so crucial for the court to rule quickly. And we were hoping back in November when I was last on your show that the court was planning to do so imminently. Unfortunately, that has not been the case. And what we've seen here is that as a result, abortions up until 15 weeks continue to take place in Florida, even right now. And 2023, unfortunately, is poised to have seen a record number of abortions in Florida take place, even more so than 2022, which was a 14-year high. So it's very, very crucial that the Florida Supreme Court speed up its decisional process and get this Heartbeat Protection Act, in effect quickly. So that is my prayer, and I know that is I know that is your prayer as well, and many of your listeners.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. We're talking with Andrew Scherville. Andrew is the founder and executive director of the Florida Voice for the Unborn. Andrew, I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go ahead with the question and comment, please. Terry, are you there?
Good afternoon, everyone. This may seem far-fetched, but my question or comment is, are these babies being utilized like cattle after they're dead for, like, the fountain of youth? Or for, it's like, what, it's demonic, but what is the, I believe the government know more than what is being blocked. And what happens to them after?
Terry, if I could intercede for just a moment. Is your question better formulated this way? Do we find that Planned Parenthood and other organizations, are they utilizing, quote, body parts to market for the profitability? Andrew, what is your response to that?
Oh, yes, we certainly know that is one of the abortion industries, and I hate to call it this, but side businesses. That's exactly right. They are trying to market the limbs, organs of fully formed babies to various medical institutions for supposed cures that never come about. But it's a big industry for them to do so. That's one of the reasons why they need to ensure late-term abortion in these states, including in Florida, because the later you go in pregnancy and the more you commit the abortions later on, the more fully formed the baby is. So it's a horrible, horrible marketing scheme.
Absolutely. Terry, do you have any other questions for Andrew? Okay. Terry's gone. Andrew, I'm looking at a headline. Abortion rights across the U.S. We track where laws stand in every state. Abortion is now nearly completely banned in 14 states, while two have banned abortion past roughly 6 weeks of pregnancy. Since Roe v. Wade overturned in 2022, 14 states have enacted near total abortion bans, while two states, Georgia and South Carolina, have banned abortion past roughly 6 weeks pregnancy. Other states have enacted laws or held ballot referendums to protect the abortion rights. In a handful of other states, the future of abortion is in flux. And it lists here, the Florida State Supreme Court, for example, may soon give the green light to yet another 6 weeks abortion ban. So, Andrew, we've discussed the last time that you were on the show, the Florida abortion industry launched that petition drive seeking to amend the Florida Constitution, for the so-called right of abortion right up until birth. And you just explained the rationale behind right up until birth abortion is to sell fully formed body parts. But the question is, what does the petition call for and what is the current status? I'm looking at an excerpt from it. Says it accepts as provided for in Article 10, Section 22, shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's health caregiver. Florida pro-life movement has an ace in the hole, as they're calling it in this article, with a conservative-dominated Supreme Court that is empowered under the Florida law to eliminate misleading proposed constitutional amendments, such as the one proposed by the Florida abortion industry. Two questions, Andrew. Why is it called the proposed constitutional amendment being misleading? And secondly, is that before the Supreme Court? When will they rule on that? I believe you said earlier in our conversation that the ones that are pushing that amendment already have enough petitions, verified petitions. So I understand the Supreme Court's reviewing it. What is the time frame? What do you expect from the Supreme Court? And what's called the 90-word introduction to that that amendment? Why is it called misleading? What are your thoughts on it? What should we as listeners be prepared to pray and ask God to do?
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. Well, first, the status of the petition amendment, as I stated before, is that they have the required signatures. So under Florida law, the Florida Supreme Court can throw it off the ballot, even though that they have all those signatures. And that's because the Florida Attorney General, Ashley Moody, has brought a challenge before the Florida Supreme Court saying that the title and the ballot summary are misleading, vague, and not otherwise in fulfilling the requirements that ballot initiatives need to do under Florida law. So the Florida Supreme Court has already taken all the briefs on that legal challenge, and they are set to hear oral arguments on Wednesday, February 7th at 9 a.m. at the state capitol in the court in Tallahassee. And Florida Voice for the Unborn will be leading a rally that morning to support our conservative justices and our pro-life attorney general. We'll also have lots of prayer going on during those oral arguments. They should be over by 10 a.m. that morning. But we want, I'm asking your listeners to be in prayer that day, because the Florida Supreme Court should throw this amendment off the ballot. Voters should not have the opportunity to be misled by the Florida abortion industry with all their money and deceptive tactics, come November of 2024. So that's what we're asking and praying for. And in terms of the misleading nature of the amendment itself, just to back up a minute, the Florida Supreme Court has to rule by April 1st. Of this year. So we'll know by April 1st whether this ghastly pro-abortion constitutional amendment will indeed appear on the ballot in November. So that takes care of that. So in terms of the misleading nature of it, I want to point to, you just read the actual ballot summary. There's three words in there that the Florida Supreme Court will have to address. One is viability. The second is patient's health, and third is patient's health care provider. Those three terms in that one sentence are very, very vague, and that's what the court needs to decide on whether it's clear enough or vague or misleading in terms of viability. What does that mean? Various courts and various statutes have talked about viability, but the proposed amendment itself doesn't define viability. It also doesn't define patient's health. Do they mean physical health, emotional health, mental health, or just health in general, meaning, in terms of, you can have a psychiatrist say, well, in order to get well or be better off, in general, you have to have this abortion. So that ties into the third misleading definition or label in that amendment. Patient's health care provider. Is that the actual abortionist? Is that your main physician? Or is that, you know, like I said, a psychiatrist, a therapist, or even a podiatrist? I mean, you know, it's not defined in the amendment. You know, the Florida abortion industry wants to radically alter our state's governing document, yet they leave a lot of the details very vague and unclear. And that's done on purpose because their real intent, without explicitly stating it in the text of the amendment, their real intent is to legalize abortion up until the moment of birth and have any old healthcare practitioner sign off on it. And they know they can't explicitly write those words in, but that's their intent. So the Florida Supreme Court has to get rid of this very misleading amendment. A lot of people, if they look at it very quickly on their ballots, will not realize the full implications of what will come about.
That is correct. Andrew, let me digress for a moment. Take just a few moments and explain to our listeners how they can reach you, how they can get on board, and what our listeners can do to pray for you and hold your hands up with what you're doing.
Well, I encourage all your listeners to go to FloridaVoiceForTheUnborn.com, all one word. There you can find many resources, including signing up for our monthly online prayer gatherings. We are asking for the Lord's favor and direction on how to best overcome this monumental challenge of this pro-abortion constitutional amendment. And also in future days and weeks, we will have much more details, including speakers and other details about our planned rally on February 7th to, again, ask the Lord's favor and ask and beg him on our knees for the Florida Supreme Court to throw this evil amendment off the ballot. So that's what I would encourage your listeners to do. Go to FloridaVoiceForTheUnborn.com, sign up for our email list, sign up for our prayer list, and in general, support us. And if you're willing and able to, you can make a donation. That would be very much appreciated. Amen. We are grassroots driven, and we need all the support we can get.
Andrew, as we run out of showtime today, we've got about 40 seconds, and I know that's short. Would you be willing to just pray for God to intervene and give victory in this?
Absolutely. Please, Lord God, we beg you to show favor on this state and to protect all our unborn brothers and sisters from the moment of conception. Please, Lord.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much, Andrew. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Andrew, thank you for taking time out to be with us today. Looking forward for the next time as we meet again. Let's Face the Issues on the air. Thank you for joining us today.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next